Hey, brother! Shoot dang, y'all. Earlier this week, we went on a deep dive on items from the wizarding world. We discovered that so many magical objects and creatures are actually sourced from English folklore and not necessarily, like, from the Potter saga itself. We hit on stuff like boggarts, house elves, velas, redcaps, hinky punks, the Philosopher's Stone itself, and so much more. And one find in particular stood out because it's arguably the central villain of an entire book. It's the Basilisk. It turns out that this existed in the mythos long before any of us ever met the boy in the cupboard under the stairs. But no, I'm just kidding. The Basilisk isn't truly even the villain of that story. It's the Basilisk's master. I mean, who knows? Maybe a Basilisk could be quite friendly if it was just always wore a pair of sunglasses and had a master who wanted to do good in the world. But in this particular case, the Basilisk master is the subject in question, the one and only Mr. Bad himself, Voldemort, aka Tom Riddle. Now, to be fair, you certainly can't nail down his source material perfectly, as there are at least a few different avenues you could draw inspiration from, which we'll aim to cover today. But Voldemort has a few critically unique traits that make the inspiration for his character crystal clear. So today we will discuss, where did Voldemort come from? So first things first, let's just look at the names themselves, Tom Riddle and Voldemort. The name Tom Riddle does have a reasonably interesting backstory in that it was actually taken from a tombstone located in Greyfriars Kirkyard, a cemetery in Edinburgh. Edinburgh? I feel like every single time I say that word, I'm like, I'm taking a leap of faith over here. It's not Edinburgh. I know that much. This same cemetery is actually potentially home to a couple of other iconic wizarding names, including Scrimgeour and Cruikshanks? But the most notable has to be Tom Riddle's, which is slightly modified from Thomas Riddell. That's Thomas R-I-D-D-E-L-L. Pronounced Riddle, Riddell. So you can see the difference. I could see the difference because I can see how it's spelled, but you know what I mean. That change in spelling is pretty interesting, but I'll come back to that in just one second. We know that Tom hated his Muggle name, believing it to be far more common, and chose a far more menacing moniker, Voldemort. I guess it's technically supposed to be pronounced Voldemort, but whatevs.
Whatever, I'm getting cheese fries.
The name Voldemort has French origins and is perfect given the Big Baddie's key aim of immortality. V-O-L, or Vol, means flight or theft, D means of or from, and Mort means death. So Voldemort translates to fight or theft of death, pretty on the nose, or lack thereof, if you catch my meaning. The interesting thing, though, is we know that Voldemort despised the name that reflected that of his Muggle father, Tom Riddle Sr., the handsome Muggle that was unwillingly ensnared by a love potion at the hands of Merope Gaunt. But he still obviously worked with what he was given in the name of having a super sweet anagram for unsuspecting 12-year-olds. Actually, if I'm being totally honest with you guys, as a kid, one of the biggest mind-blowing moments came when Tom Riddle from the diary writes Tom Marvolo Riddle in the air and then swishes his wand and has it re-spell out, I am Lord Voldemort, like, that being said, though, this wordplay proved to be a challenge as the story has been translated into 87 different languages, which, fun fact, most of those languages also got their own respective book covers, and some of them are just flat out hilarious. Full video by clicking the card. But you can quickly see how differences in the language would throw a wrench in Diary Tom Riddle's cool party trick. And as a result, we get slightly different variations on his name depending on what language the book has been translated into. For example, in Spanish, he goes by Tom Sorvolo Riddle, a relatively light modification, and allows for Soy Lord Voldemort. Actually, on this exact note, though, I also thought I struck gold with the Spanish translation because I heard a rumor that instead of the Dark Lord, his followers refer to him as Señor Tenebroso, which supposedly translated back into Mr. Spooky, but unfortunately that was just a bad translation and it's closer to, like, Sir Darkness. But you know what? He'll always be Mr. Spooky to me, though. But also moving on, in German, there's Tom Volorst Riddle, which translates to Ist Lord Voldemort for the respelling, which is not bad either. Apologies in advance because I'm butchering every language right now. My absolute favorite, though, had to be the French translation, though, where it's Tom Elvis Judasaur, which turns into Je suis Voldemort. Well, thank you very much.
Je suis Voldemort.
Je suis?
Je suis Voldemort.
Je suis Voldemort.
Je suis Voldemort.
Je suis Voldemort.
Real threatening.
I don't even know what I'm doing right now. Making a fool of myself is what. Ugh. Honestly, I'm not sure what I was dreading more after writing that joke, like the light French or an Elvis impersonation. Let me know how I did. Either way though, moving on from his name, let's talk about Voldemort as a character, because I always sort of felt like his inspiration was a little bit obvious, and for that matter, maybe it just totally is. The parallel that struck me almost immediately upon reading the series had to be Adolf Hitler, which, to be fair, isn't a massive reach. Both Voldemort and Hitler are depicted as ruthless dictators who seek power and dominance over others. They both have followers who are fiercely loyal to them and are willing to commit acts of violence and oppression in their name. They've also both got this supremacist ideology, believing in the superiority of their own group, pureblood wizards in Voldemort's case and the Aryan race in Hitler's, and in seeking to eliminate those they deem inferior and even rounding them up to do so. The only thing that ever struck me as slightly odd is the fact that in the very first book, we learned about how Dumbledore defeated the dark wizard Grindelwald in 1945, which happens to be the same year a Hitler-led Germany surrendered in World War II. I personally always found this to be slightly odd, but at that point in the writing, maybe the nod to 1945 at all was just supposed to be a small hint to the overarching parallel. That being said though, I recently stumbled across a character that I actually think fits Voldemort in a completely different way, and in this case, the inspiration predates the 20th century by a lot. Let's zoom back to Greek mythology and the character known as Sisyphus. Who is Sisyphus? Chances are, if you know none of the particulars, you have heard of his eternal struggle with the boulder. Yeah, he's that guy.
It's not just a boulder.
But if you don't know anything, then I'll give you the cliff notes. After his death, Sisyphus was condemned by the gods to push a large boulder to the top of a hill, only for the boulder to roll back down every single time he reached the top. By its very definition, it is an unwinnable task, an incompletable goal. You may have even heard the phrase Sisyphean to describe tasks that feel impossible, like getting all of the laundry done. No matter how much laundry you fold, the clothes that you are wearing are still in the act of becoming more laundry!
It never ends that way too.
But have you ever wondered why Sisyphus got stuck pushing the boulder up the hill? Like, what did he do that led him to this eternal struggle? Unsurprisingly, given his punishment in death, it turns out that Sisyphus was not a great dude while he was alive. He was a king and founder of the city Ephyra, but not a very good king. He had a real knack for disrespecting and upsetting the gods, and is famed for being the craftiest or most cunning of men. Oh, so he's known for being cunning and ambitious. Well, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? His initial claim to infame was his pleasure in breaking down what was known at the times as xenia, or guest obligations. This is the exact opposite of xenophobia. It's a Greek concept that you had a moral obligation to treat foreigners and guests with hospitality, and in doing so, honor Zeus. Sisyphus had a different approach though. Instead of treating his guests and travelers to his city with food or a welcome or even just a warm handshake, he would instead kill them. You know, to demonstrate how powerful he was, to create fear and maintain his iron-fisted rule. Now, not only is this considered extremely poor manners, but it made Zeus, like, super mad. I mean, as it should. But hey, why just disrespect the king of the gods when you could also go behind his back? Personally, I would fear eternal damnation, spoilers, but Sisyphus believed himself cleverer than the gods and did not fear them. Quick question, asking for a friend, is cleverer a word? So he made a deal with the river god, Aesopus. Sisyphus agreed to reveal to Aesopus the location of his daughter, Aegina, whom Zeus had carried off, if Aesopus caused a spring to flow on the Acropolis of his city. Translation, he wanted water to flow near his city for trade reasons. Money, for money, always money. Speaking of money, we need to give a huge shout out to today's sponsor, Bespoke Post, where in regards to money, you can actually save some on super cool stuff. Y'all, I don't want to brag, but I'm like a Bespoke Post OG. I joined back in 2014 and have accumulated dozens of boxes of awesome in that time. Which, in case you're unaware, the Box of Awesome is filled with carefully chosen gear from the best small brands around the world. And one of my all-time favorites has got to be the Smoked Box, which comes with a torch, smoking chips, and glass dome for making your own restaurant-grade smoked cocktails. This one is always such a fun party trick, and the smoky flavor is spot on.
It's good.
Ding.
But this month I received the Turbo Box with amazing craft coffee from around the globe. Y'all know that we love coffee, and trust me, this stuff does not disappoint. Beyond that though, with each box of awesome, you're supporting a small business. 90% of everything that comes in your box of awesome is from a small and up and coming brand. And right now you can get a free mystery gift with your first monthly shipment when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code SUPER at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code SUPER for a free mystery gift with your first monthly shipment. Boxofawesome.com, code SUPER, link in the description down below. Basically, he gave up one of Zeus's secrets for extra wealth, and this was apparently the last straw for Zeus, who ordered Thanatos, or Death, to chain up Sisyphus in Tartarus. Don't worry, this is the first time I've ever said all of these words in the same sentence before, so if it's like, whew, what's for me too? If you don't know, Tartarus is a giant abyss that is used like a dungeon to imprison and torture the Titans. I think in the movie Hercules, this is like that lightning bolt great thing underneath the sea, maybe, possibly, I don't know. I'm told Hercules was incredibly accurate in all ways.
I'm an action figure.
It wasn't? Oh, I'm lost again. But Sisyphus was so clever that he was able to trick Thanatos into the chains himself and managed to escape Death. And since he had trapped Death, it also meant that nobody on Earth could die. Thanatos? I'm doing great today, y'all. I waded into these waters and now I just have to bathe in them. Which, on the one hand, nobody being able to die, that doesn't sound like the worst, but it stopped those who were sick and suffering and old from dying, and stopped anyone from being able to make sacrifices to the gods. So yeah, they didn't like that part of it very much either. That part, maybe I'm more okay with. I don't know how much we need to be doing sacrifices, you know? I'm not pro sacrifice, unless you're Harry. That was a specific situation. And he came out, you know what I mean. He was fine! Unable to kill him though, the gods threatened to make his life so miserable he'd wish he were dead, spoilers, at which point Sisyphus finally released Death. But he wasn't done cheating Death yet, as when he finally actually died himself, he instructed his wife, Merope, to not follow proper death rituals, but instead cast his naked body into the middle of the town. Wait, is this going back to the laundry thing from before? Naked, no clothes, nothing to get dirty? And we called it a Sisyphean task. This allowed him to bargain in the underworld with Persephone and convince her that the gods had been disrespected and he should go back up there and deal with his wife. But naturally, after he got back out, he just stayed until being forcibly dragged back down by Hermes, where at long last he died and was doled out punishment by Hades for his crimes.
Game, set, match.
See, Hercules, totally accurate. This is when Sisyphus would finally be forced to push a boulder up a hill for eternity. It's happening still, right now, out there, somewhere, pushing, boulder, hill. So what does any of this have to do with Voldemort? Well, you guys are smart, so I bet you picked up on a lot of it along the way, but they have quite a lot in common, and maybe in ways you didn't totally realize. First of all, Voldemort himself is quite a terrible tyrant. He enjoys killing people to induce fear and maintain his own iron grip. And I honestly don't feel like this gets enough attention in the story at all, but he kills like a lot of people. Like so many off-screen muggles, like that entire lake full of Inferi, the Death Eaters don't even know that he's making Horcruxes. So that whole project is a secret personal pet project of his to protect the locket. Meaning he killed all of those people personally. Jeez. People just skate by this one. This is like the area where if you're like, Umbridge is worse than Voldemort. Like, no, no. Nothing's worse than that. But don't get me wrong, Umbridge is the worst. Just not the worst, you get it.
Ask me to remind you.
Speaking of Horcruxes, Voldemort, much like Sisyphus, is doing everything he can to cheat Death. This really is his move. No matter how many times Harry beats him, it seems like he still never fully crosses over to the other side. He always has a way back. Then there is the futility of his efforts. The first is the Sisyphean task. It's rolling the boulder up the hill. For Voldemort, it fits perfectly in two different ways. His recklessness with his own soul leaves it so badly tattered that a piece of itself lives inside of Harry, giving Harry extremely valuable insight into Voldemort's plans. Voldemort is just simply always doomed to fail. His pride prevents him from allowing anyone else to attack Harry. It must be him. This is also why he's determined to use Harry's own blood to return in Goblet of Fire, which tethers Harry to life via Lily's sacrifice. And on that note, his unwillingness or inability to understand love makes him blind to all sorts of powerful magic, like Lily's protection. And it just goes on and on. Like, even his determination to punish the Malfoys leads to Draco's mastery of the Elder Wand, which is ultimately taken from Draco by Harry and is central to Voldemort's defeat. Voldemort is really Voldemort's own worst enemy, not Harry. All of his efforts are futile always. The rock always rolls back down the hill. Then there's the rock itself. Like I said, in theory, Sisyphus is still out there somewhere pushing it and will never ever be able to successfully make it. And this is Voldemort in death, which I put in air quotes because Voldemort doesn't truly even die at the end of the story. But it's not like in a he's still out there biding his time kind of way, but in a his soul is so badly mangled it cannot ever leave limbo kind of way. Just a scaly, bloody, forever existence of nothingness, his own perpetual rock to push with no hope of ever prevailing. And last but certainly not least has to be the connection to Merope. Now, as we all are aware in Harry Potter, Merope is Tom Riddle's mother and certainly not his spouse, as is the case with Sisyphus. The name similarity cannot be a mistake. Let me explain. Merope is also from Greek mythology, but is no mortal. Instead, Merope is one of the seven daughters of Atlas, but considered a bit of an outcast for her decision to marry the mortal man, Sisyphus. Does this sound familiar? Well, it should, because this can be clearly reflected in the Wizarding World's version of Merope and her decision to marry Tom Riddle Sr. Even though the relationship is different, it feels like all the more likely the true reason why Tom Riddle shares his name with his Muggle father. Honestly, for me, I just found this to be so interesting as we kind of like kept going further down the rabbit hole. It just seemed like everything else continued to line up. But I also sort of love the idea that Voldemort is just this person out there trying to win this otherwise unwinnable task. Like, as formidable as he may seem, he's got no chance at success. It's never going to work out. And I love that. But guys, enough about Sisyphus. How about more about super... Yes, that was pretty lame, wasn't it? Anyway, we have a brand new super mug available over at CarlinBrothersMercantile.com. I highly recommend you check it out. It's handmade and super awesome. You can tell because it says super right there on it. Link in the description down below. Guys, as always, thank you so much for watching. Be sure to like this video and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. If you'd like to hear more about the true history of magic, you can check out our video from earlier this week right over here. But otherwise, until next time, bye!